Welcome.
Part two.
Mm-hmm. Are you still alive?
We are. So far, so good.
Yeah. Hopefully this could be pre-recorded and one of us could have already been killed by the other. You don't know.
Hey, I mean, anything's possible. Yeah.
That would be a great alibi. Not that I'm planning it or anything.
I mean, being in Spokane and me being in Southern California.
Well, I was thinking, recording a podcast together. I guess it's recorded, so there's no time. I guess if I could timestamp it, but never mind. I'm not thinking too hard about this anymore. Never considered.
That's a relief.
You're not on my to kill list.
No. Well, Tori plots my death. I'll go ahead and jump in. We're looking at part two here for our poisonous plant discussion. Again, kind of going over some of the standouts from A.B. Stewart's book, Wicked Plants. And I want to start us off on this section with the iboga tree, Tabernathy iboga. So it's actually a flowering shrub. It's about 6 feet tall, and it is native to the west coast of Africa. So it's kind of interesting if you look it up. It looks like kind of like small yellow habanero peppers that are the fruits on this tree. It's actually in kind of an adorable, like little bananas, like little peppers. But it's like a larger shrub. But it does contain a very powerful alkaloid called ibogaine. So it's mostly concentrated actually in the roots.
That's good.
Yeah. At least it's not as obvious because the fruits look delicious. Like, I don't know what they are, but I want them. but it's actually kind of a controversial thing, but, some people claim that it can cure heroin addiction by making a medicine out of this root. It definitely has gone both ways. Like,
I think I'd try it if I was addicted to heroin.
This is poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just having that near-death experience put things in perspective. Right. I don't know. Maybe that's could work either way. We don't know. It is often used in West Africa as kind of like a ceremonial sacrament. Okay. They can produce hallucinations, so it's meant to kind of connect people to their ancestors. Kind of using like initiation rites, or even some like emotional or medical problems that they kind of use this for sometimes. It's
they are
part
really
of the drug
cute.
Tourism.
Yeah,
I know, right?
But really cute.
Yeah,
they look like little fat, or like kind of weird lemon, orangey lemon things.
Yeah. I like
with
it.
Lemons with tails or something. It's kind of cute.
Elongated. I just want to eat the fruit.
They're just super cute. I can't stop looking at them. They're just adorable.
Yeah. Wonder what it tastes like.
I know, right?
Anyway,
never hear
so yeah, exactly. You don't have to plot my murder. Right. I will be dead.
I just have to give you a plant.
Exactly. Be like, it's edible, Taylor.
It's
fine. It's adorable. Eat it.
Yeah.
The iboga is a big part of like the drug tourism industry, so this is something people travel and go try. In 1962, 19-year-old American got a hold of this drug. It actually left him no desire to use heroin, so that was kind of success story. as opposed to could have
going back to heroin.
Yeah, I know. It's like
where I'd love to see where he is now.
Right?
Like, is he really off heroin,
right?
Or was it like a month long?
I know,
sabbatical?
Right? Yeah, I just really no idea what the issue there
all
was.
This guy's life.
Oh, he did also give it to some of his friends with a similar problem, and they had the same outcome. So it was like kind of anecdotal, you know, proof, quote unquote.
I just wonder, like, now are they addicted to this plant?
Yeah. How often do you have to do this drug to get over that drug?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. They make it sound like a
one-time
thing, but there is actually a foundation now to support research into like alternative treatments for drug addiction.
Yeah.
And this is one that they're looking at, is these ibogaine-based drugs. So probably not like straight right. root of this plant, but like they're trying to yeah. experiment with it in medicines and see if this is something that people can take to get them off that other would be drugs. Really
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we do more research on that?
Right.
That would be cool.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. This book was written yeah. a while ago, so I don't know if there's been more progress right. on this, but that's definitely something.
If it's been like, no,
at.
It's bad. Don't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's even worse.
Yeah. It's, you thought heroin was bad.
Yeah. Oh, no. So yeah, again, this has been like varying levels of success with this, but it does remain a Schedule I controlled substance, and the FDA has not approved it for any medical properties whatsoever. So
damn FDA,
take that with what you stickler. Will. Yeah, I wouldn't use the FDA as a big, you know, rule to follow. I, you know, they don't have the best track records. Like Twinkies are okay, yeah. but.
Right.
Supplements aren't, you know, it's just like what yeah. what is your role here, like what
right
anyway. So the next point,
I can eat corn.
Yeah. Corn? Yeah, corn's
fine. Are you
fine.
Sure?
How much corn?
What about potatoes? Doesn't come with a warning. Doesn't say I need
it's
to
true.
Cook it.
It's true. I feel like you learn pretty quick after you try one.
Yeah.
Not that true. Delicious to eat a potato raw, at least.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So the next plant I wanted to talk about was oleander. And we kind of talked about this a little bit in our pollinator episode about bees. But this is something that if bees primarily get their nectar from the oleander plant, much like the rhododendron, it can cause poisonous honey.
Which is the coolest thing in the world.
It is very cool. So oleander is actually considered to be one of the most poisonous plants in the world. And then just the popularity of it has led to probably some of the most deaths based on just sheer
it's
numbers.
Like everywhere.
You know, it's just a large number of murders and accidental deaths have actually been implicated oleander right. in it. It does contain a compound called oleandrin. Which is a cardiac glycoside, so that can cause nausea, vomiting, weakness, irregular pulse, decreased heart rate, which eventually can lead to death. It's very toxic to animals. It's incredibly toxic if it's burned. You do not want to inhale the smoke from that.
Which is why I'm glad we have so many of that in California.
In California.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Where there's a fire issue.
There were
literally
so
everywhere
many.
On the side of the roads.
Yeah, no, there were so many of my elementary school. I think they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
The entire campus was covered in them. I'm like, what the fuck? Between that and the black metal, it's like, why? What are you trying to kill us? Like, what is happening?
Does nobody know?
There was like no other plant. It was Raphiolepis, oleander. There were some tipu trees. I swear to God, that was it. Right. And grass. You know, it was just like, wow, okay.
Yeah, just the, like every freeway has oleander, like,
yeah,
in the center.
Yeah.
And it's just like, if there's a fire.
Exactly. Like, that'd be absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if a car catches on fire, like, who the fuck knows? Like,
yeah.
Just, poof,
yeah.
You're, yeah, don't go outside.
right.
So,
seriously,
not only.
The world's a scary place.
Not only is it really toxic in that way, the toxins in it actually remain in compost for like 300 days if you
Lord.
Compost it. Typically vegetables don't absorb it, so it could be safe to use, like, you know, just
right.
to topically apply around your plants, but those toxins are still in there, so I would be very cautious about that.
Yeah.
Or just
like,
don't use
know
them.
What
Stop growing oleander. They're stupid.
It's not even that cool of a plant. I mean,
know.
It's okay.
It's fine.
But it's like, yeah, it's nothing special. I'm like, why are we planting this again?
I don't know. It's just, it bothers me. I talked to my client out of planting it, mostly because I just couldn't find it. And, well, this particular, they wanted this very specific one, and I was just like, how about we not do that?
Yeah. Like, you know what?
Here you go.
Have you heard about all of these toxins that it contains?
I know. Yeah, and their neighbors have little kids, so they're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's probably a good idea anyway. I'm like, okay, good.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. People are very fascinating. Children, speaking of children, they're the most at risk because it only takes a few leaves to kill them. So, you know, perfect plant for an elementary school.
For an elementary
school.
For
a kindergarten through sixth grade. I played in those all the time. I knew they were poisonous.
It is a miracle you're alive.
Yeah, I knew they were poisonous. Like, they told us. But, like,
oh, But no, they knew it was poisonous.
Oh yeah, no, they were on campus. They were so very, yeah, no.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, don't eat this. I'm like, can I
this
touch
whole time
it?
I was like, well, they're dumb.
No.
Because they didn't research. But no, they know. They just don't care. Yep. Oh my God.
Honestly, I don't remember who told me, but it must have been that, because it was just like, yeah, stay away from, you know, the, whatever. Or, I don't know. They didn't even say that. They're just like, yeah, it's poisonous. Don't worry about it.
You know how many people would sue a school in California if they knew that?
Right. Right.
Like,
you would
so
say,
many parents
by now, it's been,
to do.
I am 27 years old. It has been a long time. They're still there, I promise you. Drive by it every day.
The fact that it's is known and nothing's been done about it is just mind-boggling.
It is. It's like, were you going to wait till someone died? What's the,
is and that it's just the like, it's catalyst? Just, you could easily replace it for not that expensive.
Right.
With any, like, a bunch of other shrubs that'll be, you already have Raphiolepis, add more.
Yeah. Anything else, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. It's like, just a little research before you plant stuff, people. Just one Google search.
Yeah.
No excuse nowadays. Not just Google it.
No.
Whether it's the size of the plant, how crazy poisonous it is to children at an elementary school. Right. Like, do what you want at your home, but come on. Like,
I mean, but someone is like, reckless. They have to figure out what this plant is, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be on the description.
You would think.
You would think. Oh,
no.
Being one of the most poisonous plants, you know.
Yeah. That's fine.
Oh, geez.
There was one woman who tried to use them to kill her husband. I don't think she was successful, but she's the only woman on death row in California.
Oh, really?
At least at this time.
Did she succeed?
No, I don't think so. It's an attempted, so, yeah.
Wow, she did not try very hard.
No.
Do you just, like, put one leaf in there? And, like, what was
maybe it was a salad, and he was like, soup? This is horrible.
Yeah, like, what, how do you...
I don't know.
Wow. I don't know why I'm criticizing her killing abilities, because I shouldn't, but still, it's just like,
well, I mean,
how is this
it takes a few leaves for a child, but for an adult man, it's probably a lot more, and that would be hard
make
to
a
sneak.
Green smoothie. That's
true.
A fad.
That's true.
Yeah.
I feel like it would taste horrible,
just say,
but...
Just call it kale.
No one would question it.
I put kale in the smoothie. Sorry, it probably tastes like crap.
Oh my God.
It's the kale. It really wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, it's true.
Make like
my favorite
fancy soup.
Yeah, my favorite story about my friend Brendan of all time is that he was so awkward during lunch that a eucalyptus leaf fell in his salad and he didn't see it, and he ate it, and he was too awkward to spit it out, and I thought so he just ate this eucalyptus leaf. It just fell in his food.
Oh my
like,
gosh, you just keep eating
why?
It. I would have like probably like I just ate a eucalyptus.
I know, it's like that's a conversation starter. Anyway,
yeah,
I will never let that go.
Or like I would have probably complained about the salad. Like what
like what the hell did I just what did I order?
Yeah. Good thing it was an oleander leaf that fell in his
Yep, that's true. Would have been a little worse. I mean eucalyptus is also kind of poisonous, but not as bad.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. I'm surprised.
I think I actually have. That's one of my ones coming up here. Anyway, just to round off oleander. So it actually is a very common plant also to commit suicide. In Sri Lanka, that's the most common suicide method for women is oleander. It also sometimes...
poison is a choice for suicide. It just sounds like a really bad way to go.
It depends on the type of poison, really. It's like, some of it's quick, some of it's not. So you just gotta be knowledgeable. Yeah. Not gonna help everyone out there, but anyway. So the next one on the list is the opium poppy. So papaver somniferum probably. So it's the only Schedule II narcotic you can buy at a garden store.
That's my favorite. That reminds me of high school. We had this like endangered animal club and they made hemp bracelets, and they were told to not make hemp bracelets because you could get high off
of my god.
And they were doing it to raise money towards like the World Wildlife Fund or something. But you know, you could just buy a poppy plant.
Yeah. Hey, why not?
Hey.
Why not? So possessing the seeds is legal. But mm-hmm. possessing the plant is not. But
what?
People are rarely prosecuted for this.
I was gonna say.
And again, you can still buy them. Like, they just kind of, like, people just kind of, they just gave up prosecuting because they're like, everyone yeah. buys this poppy, like, we're not gonna stop selling this.
Right.
The seed pod is what contains the actual opium. It contains mm-hmm. codeine, morphine, and the opiate.
Oh shit, that's good stuff.
Oh
right
yeah.
There.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I remember when I had codeine once for like I yeah. was really sick. I was like, this stuff Gosh. Is awesome.
Yeah. God.
Like
that stuff's the damn. That's the good stuff that the doctor oh yeah out. Man, you should yeah. just like say, hey, you know that garden store
yeah.
over there? Yeah, check out that
I got a plant.
Poppy plant.
Oh yeah,
yeah. really pretty flowers.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying.
So it was cultivated in the Middle East since about 3400 BC. The Odyssey mm-hmm. actually mentions a drink called nepenthe. Don't know mm-hmm. if I'm saying that right. That believed with many people believe it's it was like an opium based drink. Mm-hmm. So recreational use dates back to the Middle Ages. It was sold as laudanum as a medication in the 17th century.
Oh, that stuff was so... I swear, that laudanum and opium was, like, commonplace.
Yeah.
You have hysteria? Do you have a toothache? Here, take some opium.
Done.
Tastes
sold.
Great.
Yes.
yeah.
So, and then in the 19th century, doctors extracted the morphine and started using that as a painkiller. Mm-hmm. Bayer, the aspirin company, introduced heroin in 1898. It was sold as a cough syrup for children and adults.
Yum.
Only on the market for about 10 years, for obvious reasons.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't that long.
Yeah, yeah. it was banned.
Just someone's entire childhood.
Right? It was banned by 1932 after they realized how addicting it was.
You know, how do you not find that out early on? I mean, I guess you have to have a, I don't know, were you getting like, I need the aspirin, I need the aspirin?
Yeah,
like after like 10 year 10 you're like, okay, maybe there's a problem.
Yeah, this cough syrup is a little too great. Yeah. Again, as of this book date, 9.2 million people worldwide still use it. Afghanistan produces 90% of the worldwide opium.
Wow, that's a good chunk of it.
Yeah. So for those of us who have tried it, opium mm-hmm. causes a feeling of euphoria, but also it depresses nice. Your respiratory system, and not it nice. Can lead to coma and death if you overdose on it.
Yeah.
So it, basically awesome. It interferes with endorphin receptors. That's why you get like a very intense pain when you withdraw. So that's a big part of it, is it just starts to...
Right. Never mind. It's like hurt.
Yeah. It's I thought I was going somewhere with that. I was not. So even the tea, even tea made from seeds and the seed head is dangerous. The morphine mm-hmm. amount varies widely for plants, so you're not always, you know, 100% sure right. how much is actually getting in there. It would take about 10,000 poppy plants to supply a heroin addict for a year, though. It's not like it's a much yeah. more concentrated form of heroin, but okay. still, you can get some odd results with tea made from that.
Just buy out a garden.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, that's a lot more work.
Yeah. Oh, this is what I was. So the DEA actually asked our garden catalogs to stop selling. Opium seeds, but again, it was too popular. Like, people, you know, right. a lot of people, not even for the drugs, like a lot of people just love these poppies, so they're just like,
right,
they're not gonna.
I mean, it's the state flower of California.
Exactly. Well, different species, but still.
A different poppy, but no one knows the difference.
it's true not many do.
Yeah.
No. And even eating like a few poppy seed muffins could potentially cause a positive on a drug test. So it's they're very potent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what my dad couldn't eat lemon poppy seed because he get drug tested.
Oh yeah, so yeah.
He couldn't take the risk.
Do you remember in our Plants and Civilization class that the group who did a presentation on poppy seeds, they brought in poppy seed muffins for their presentation?
Oh, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
That was funny. Like, good call.
Delicious. You won us over. Yours is the best.
Delicious. All right. So the next plant here, we're going to talk about the toxicodendron species. So poison ivy, poison oak, and poison sumac. So ironically, poison ivy is not an ivy, poison oak is not an oak, and poison sumac is not a sumac.
Why do we do this to ourselves?
I don't know.
It's not that hard.
And oddly, none of them are poisonous either.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
what
they're toxic
wrong with these people.
Yeah. As in the toxicodendron, the name. Because they do, again, they contain that urushiol. Again, right. Not sure if I'm saying that right, but the urushiol oil is present in there, so that's technically an allergen.
Right.
And I actually
that's why you have allergic reactions to it.
Yeah, and I did kind of learn that in my permaculture class, because we were trimming trees and stuff for one day. And they're like, oh, look out, there's like poison oak everywhere. But like, it was in the dormant season, so it was just a little stick. Like, it literally was just like a stick out of the ground. So you can't see it. You're just like, hope I don't die. So I was so paranoid, because I've never stepped in poison oak before. I'm like, I don't know if I'm allergic. Because they're like, you may not react. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to take that chance. So I like, me and my one friend in the class were like, okay, because they're like, oh, we have the poison ivy soap. I can't remember the name of it. Some talk something name. Anyway, so like, it was freezing. We went to take a shower, because they only had outdoor showers. So we were like, okay, let's do this. And then, oh no, that wasn't the bad part. So normally the showers do have warm water, but they had to shut off the electricity like during like these 4 hours during this day. But I was like, I don't want to. Yeah, but I was like, I don't want to take the chance. Like, it's all over my clothes. So like, I stripped down. I put everything into like a trash bag. And then I went and took a freezing cold shower. And like, I didn't read the directions on the soap. So I didn't realize you're supposed to like, cover yourself with the, because it's a very oily soap, like, to get everything off. So you're supposed to cover that and then wait and then rinse it off.
Oh no, you just
but I was just like
right
washing
away.
It out, and then I was like, then I had to start all over because I was just anyway, I didn't have any reaction at all. So I don't even know if it touched me. Anyway, that was my really weird experience. I don't think there's any way it couldn't have touched me, because like, we were really in those, like, so I don't think I'm allergic, but anyway, that's my weird ivy story.
Mine was I can't recognize it. I've never been able to, because it's got so many different leaf shapes. I'm like, I can't remember this. And it changed the freaking color. And so we went camping on, it was the California portion of the Pacific Crest Trail. And we just find this beautiful green oaky area, and it's all this lush, let's pick this spot. It's surrounded by plants, so much prettier. And Ethan's like, okay, we just have to be careful, because I'm very sensitive to poison oak. No, he is not. One of his friends is really his friends, if he's even near it, it has a reaction to it.
Yeah.
But that's what Ethan said. He's like, even if I'm just near it, I react. Yeah. So we were surrounded by poison oak, and it wasn't until some guy who was selling weed. He's like a
traveling salesman.
He lives nearby. Yeah, he's a traveling weed salesman who likes to go up and down the trail.
Sure.
And he's like, oh, you guys want some weed? And we're like, no, we're fine. We're only going to be here an extra day. It was just super funny, because he's like, he just starts screaming, poison oak, everywhere. It's everywhere. Oh, and like, pointed up to our general vicinity of where we just finished setting up our tent.
Yeah.
And so then, of course, Ethan starts freaking out, thinking he's going to have a reaction. He was fine. We were both fine.
Oh my gosh.
But, like, literally, like, the path we walked through was all poison oak. Like, every green plant was poison oak.
Sounds
like,
about right.
Well, and I was, like, telling him, well, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah,
yeah. It's too late.
We'll find out.
We'll find out if we have a reaction. Yep. Neither of us had a reaction. So.
Yeah. That's good.
So I hope I'm not allergic.
Yeah.
I'm assuming I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume at that point when you're in that close contact.
Yeah.
So when someone is allergic and is exposed to it, It actually, your allergy gets worse after each exposure. Like, you get more and more sensitive to it every time you're exposed to the Urushiol. It says about 15 to 25% of people don't have any reaction to it. 25% may need, like, prolonged exposure to, like, get some sort of reaction. And then about half the population will break out if they just brush up against the plant. So it's a very common allergy, but it's very possible that you don't have it.
Or, I would like to know.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I don't want to know, but
like
I do.
Test I could take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. So again, it is that, like, an oil. It is an oil that causes the problem.
Yeah.
So oil can persist on clothing. If you have a pet dog with you or something, it could, you know, be on your dog's fur. So it's something very hard to figure out far as doing that. Even this book was like, it is very difficult to recognize, so you know.
Thank you. I feel so vindicated because everyone's like, how do you not know that? I'm like,
we did learn it.
Like, I never learned it.
Really? That was in Christy's class.
Christy didn't do No, we didn't learn it. We never saw it in person.
Yeah, she brought in leaves.
Oh, come on, that doesn't help. I need to see the whole plant. I need to see it's a natural environment.
So a good way to tell, you wrap a piece of white paper around the stem or leaf and then crush it. If a brown stain appears and turns black in a few hours, it contains Urushiol. So that's a good way to do that. Also, if you're allergic to poison oak, poison ivy, blah, blah, you may also be allergic to cashew trees, mango, or lacquer trees. So those are all very similar, that same oil toxin.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Can I just like get tested for that? I just want to know. I'm really curious.
Yeah.
Like, I took an allergy test. Maybe I'll check to see if that's on it.
Yeah. I mean,
Urushiol.
I think it's, it's got to be a thing.
I doubt it.
I've always been curious about an allergy test. I remember I had a friend in high school who took it and he was allergic to cockroaches. And he was like, number one, why is that on there? Like, number two, do I have to eat it? Like,
What is
happening? Why do I need to know that?
Do cockroaches have dander?
Yeah, right? What is going on? Anyway, so the next one I have.
I'm allergic to, like, every kind of dust there is.
Oh, yeah. So cockroaches
there's, like, five different types. Yeah. And I looked up, it's all these weird names, and I was like, so you mean dust?
That's it.
Like, five different names for dust. No. Yeah.
Plants,
so I wish.
Everything.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm allergic. I can't talk to you.
Good t-shirt option.
Anyway,
so the next plant I have is the stinging tree. It's called Dendrocyanine Myroides. It is known as the most feared tree in Australia, which I feel like is definitely saying something.
That must be saying something. Yeah.
So they have fine silicone hairs that resemble like a peach fuzz. If you even brush up against this plant, it can cause unbearable pain. It can last up to a year.
Oh, of course it lives in Australia.
Of course it's in Australia.
Why am I not surprised?
Yep, you shouldn't
be. What
the
hell? Why can't we eradicate this? Like, how do we need these plants?
I don't know, but they've been known
this
to cause heart attacks.
Terrifying.
Because of how much pain is in, like the shock of it causes heart attacks. The pain may be reactivated by cold or heat or just touching it. So,
you know, like
everything.
No way to hot day, cold day movement. Just the three
There's
things
no
you
heat
have no
in Australia,
control over.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
Even just being near the plant, you can inhale it because it's such these fine hairs. You can inhale it or it can get in your eyes.
You know, I'm not going to Australia.
No, I honestly never crossed my mind to go there. Nothing.
I don't know how your parents survived.
I don't know either. Honestly, my mom was.
Doesn't seem worth the risk.
Oh God, no, it's not. No, I'm sure there's some nice stuff there.
Yeah,
I just don't.
I'll look
die.
At pictures.
I'm going to touch a plant that I'm not supposed to, and I'm going to die.
Yeah. this sealed the deal. Before I was like on the fence because it looked really cool, but no, this. Scary year-long
death tree
terrifying death tree
yeah
sealed the deal.
Yeah, there's a story of a soldier who fell into this plant during training, and he had to be strapped down to a bed for 3 weeks just to, prevent further damage to himself.
Probably suicide.
Oh, yeah, and then another committed suicide who just escaped the pain.
Of course he did. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Animals can be affected too. There's been reports of horse deaths from this. A common treatment for it is a wax removal strip, because it is like these little fine little hairs that kind of just attach themselves. Oh, yeah. Experts advise a lot of whiskey before attempting.
That should say something.
Yep. I like how it says experts.
Experts. Yeah. What do you say, Doc? Lots of whiskey. Yep,
that's my diagnosis. Go for it.
Yeah. Here's a bottle.
All right. So I've just got two trees left. Okay. This second to last one here is the strychnine tree. So Strychnos myxvomica. So it's most commonly used as a rat poison. There was a man, serial killer, named Dr. Thomas Neil Cream. Yeah. He was forced to marry his wife because she got pregnant. Then he had an affair, and then the girl or woman he had an affair with died. He he killed her. he also helped another woman kill her husband. He spent 10 years in jail. Continued to kill young women in London after he would like pretend to offer medical services because he was a doctor. And he ended up killing him. He actually just kept bragging about it, and that got him arrested and hanged. But he would use the strychnine poison for his killings.
How hard is it to not tell people that you're killing?
I know, right? It's just like, why? Okay,
write a diary and then lock the diary up.
Anything else but just blabbing.
Call
about
it your
it.
Porn collection. No one's gonna look at it. Like,
oh god.
Especially in that day and age.
Yeah. I'd be like, what is that?
Like ye old porn collection.
Typical.
Just like a
of
bunch
time.
Of boxes of like. Sorry, I'm just
books.
I'm imagining those old timey like photo frames.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like just huge boxes. It's just like, yeah.
Here we go.
It's like, and you have
volume
to, like,
7.
Shuffle them to get any kind of movement.
Oh my god.
Damn it. I'm missing the one piece. I can't flip through it fast enough. Sorry.
Oh my god.
I'm going a weird direction.
Yep. So strychnine, basically how it poisons you, it takes control of your nervous system. Your basically every muscle in your body starts spasming. Your breathing stops. Oof. And death takes hours. And then victims are often frozen with like a grin on their face. So it's just a super creepy.
That's crazy.
Poison.
I don't like that.
Yeah. It was referenced in the Count of Monte Cristo. I guess they call it brucine, which is from the same tree. It's like a different extract or something. And it's also something that's rumored that you can build tolerance to.
Okay.
You know, I don't know why you'd want to try that, but hey.
What do you mean? Microdose. Microdosing is the coolest thing in the world. No one can ever take me out with strychnine.
It's true. Like, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, as long as there's no like side effects, I'd do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming there would be, but.
I don't know how you'd avoid the.
I would think so.
Spasming and the. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does not sound pleasant. Anyway.
But how cool would it be to be tolerant to poisons? Like.
I mean.
Like the Princess Bride poison?
Yeah, that's what I always think of.
That'd be so cool.
But it's like, that's such a specific. Like, why would that matter? Like, what if someone poisons you with something else? Like.
You'd have to, like, drop a hint. You'd have to, like. You'd be
don't
like,
anyone
oh,
give me this poison. I'm especially susceptible.
I just heard a story about how a husband killed their wife with strychnine. It's terrible.
How would you
but
even know that?
He almost got away with it if he hadn't have bragged about it. It's super easy to get. Like, you just bring it up all the time.
Uh-huh,
and so they'd be
uh-huh.
like, it'd be the first one on top of the head.
That's
and
true.
You'd be like, tolerance.
Oh my god. How would you even know they attempted it, though?
I don't know. That was a good question. I got stumped on that one.
So that was close. My next thought. So like, close.
Yeah. My plan ruined.
Yeah.
Logic.
You know, ruins everything.
Meh. No fun.
So the last one I have here is the white snake root, or Eupatorium rugosum. Basically, for the most part, it kind of reminds me of like the poison honey thing, because it's something that it actually affects livestock, like cows. So if a cow eats it, the butter or the milk that it produces will be poisonous.
Oh, that's super interesting. Yeah.
So this was actually a problem.
It's like mad cow disease. Like kind you can't of. Eat. Yeah. Well, it's like if a cow has mad cow, that's like true. Has mad cow, and you eat the meat, you get mad cow disease. That makes
sense. Yeah, yeah. kind of. similar, same animal at least.
Yeah.
So in
oh, that's all I get.
Very close. Oh my god. So in 1818 specifically, I don't know when, I guess it's. Oh, because I'm sorry. So this is actually how Lincoln's mother passed away. Nancy Hanks Lincoln died in 1818 in Indiana. People were a little confused, like people were dying, like they didn't quite understand what's going on. It wasn't until a woman doctor back in the day. Anna Bixby made the connection to the snake root in the early 1800s and helped eradicate the disease in her area, but she wasn't taken seriously kind of countrywide because she was a woman. She tried to notify the government. They didn't pay any attention to her. And it wasn't until the 1920s that it was actually widely recognized. It was like, oh.
That took way too long.
Yeah, that took a very long time. it grows about 4 feet tall. Kind of looks like Queen Anne's lace as far as like the flower clusters. The toxic ingredient is called trimethyl, which can be found, even found in the dead plant material. So like if you make hay out of it and then your animals eat it, it still could be a problem. So you have to be very careful when raising livestock. In those conditions when it's...
There goes my dream to become a cow farmer. Too difficult.
Much too difficult. Are you putting some belladonna in your eyes?
I am. I'm dilating my eye lids. No, not lids. My pupils for you.
Nice. I appreciate that.
My own tincture. Yep, you're welcome. Everyone listening.
Yes. If only you could see what I'm seeing. Oh, no.
Oh, it's beautiful. There you go. I'm afraid to blink because then you'll miss it.
Exactly. but that's all I've got. The end of the book references some poison gardens. If anyone is in any of these areas or visiting these areas and you'd want to see a garden full of poisonous plants, there's several to check out.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, so there's the Alnwick Poison Gardens in Northumberland, the Botanical Garden of Padua near Venice, the Chelsea Psychic Garden in London, the Montreal Botanical Garden, the Muir Museum in Philadelphia, the W.C. Munster? Oh gosh, something German. in New York, they have a poisonous plant garden there. I don't know what that is, a museum or something. Yeah, so those are some potential poison gardens to check out if you're ever in any of those places.
That'd be super cool.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as that scary death Australia tree is not there, I'm down.
Yes, 100%. Not going near that.
That is just terrifying. Needs to be
killed and
I mean, it's ruined the entire country.
I know. Jeez. Awful.
I mean, they had a lot of other things going against it, but that just sealed the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I do have kind of an honorable mention. I don't know why I didn't think of this really belonging in this book necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of an interesting thing about an acacia tree. So there's a specific acacia that's in East Africa. Again, it's a whistling thorn acacia. So this tree is covered in like these 3-inch thorns, right? So it is kind of a danger zone announcement kind of thing on the tree, but that's not what's dangerous. The tree has nothing to do with it. So the issue with this tree, or why it's considered dangerous. Mm-hmm. It hosts aggressive stinging ants. So
this
specific stinging ant species lives on this specific acacia. They live in the swollen bases of the thorns on the acacia. And they actually chew a hole in the thorn base, which is why it's called the whistling acacia. It kind of has a whistling noise when it when the wind blows. Cool. Yeah. So they live in those areas. They basically have like these little ant militias that patrol the tree for predators. So like say a giraffe comes by and tries to take a bite out of the tree. If it makes it past the thorns, number one, the ants will attack the giraffe to make sure it doesn't continue eating the tree. They actually selectively prune the tree as well to like make sure that their like colony area is, you know, nice and good to go. And then they also want to make sure that they don't touch other trees because there's like the neighboring ant colonies would be on another tree. And there are these scientists that decided like, hey, I wonder what happens if we tie these trees together. They came back. They did this like late afternoon or something. They came back like hours later the next day. There was like a pile of ant bodies like 3 inches thick. Like all on the base of the tree. Shoot. They just murdered each other.
Oh my God.
It's like,
that is just
what the fuck.
Ants are freaky.
Yeah.
They are
terrifying. Terrifying.
It is. I mean, insects in general are just too intelligent.
It's true.
And
it's true.
If they were any bigger, they would control all of us.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just terrifying.
Yep. But is just, I'm going to have nightmares.
Yep. You're welcome.
Without a doubt. Thank you.
I guess one thing that kind of relates to death with these. So some species, it's a different species of acacia. It's Acacia verticillata. They actually secrete a chemical that induces like corpse carrying behavior. So like how the ants, when an ant is dead, it kind of excretes like a chemical that says it's dead. So they excrete that so that they'll carry the acacia seeds as if they were dead. So they'll go and bury the seeds to like help spread their own species. I thought that was super cool.
That is too intelligent.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's like, so they're very intricately connected to ants.
Yeah.
I just thought that was cool.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is just like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. It's cool, but also extremely creepy at the same time.
I agree.
Yeah. It's nice from afar.
Yes.
No intimate relationship.
Don't want to witness that necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, okay, that is it, I promise. We're good to go.
Very awesome. I think her book, I think the reason why it's in her book is she does, like, poisonous, like, toxic.
Yeah.
Not necessarily deadly, and then she does like hazardous.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know she has. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because I think she also had like kudzu in her book.
Yes,
which is just
There's a lot of ones because
it just like takes over. It's not a poisonous plant.
True,
but I think that's kind of
something.
So it's a cool. That's what's kind of cool about the book because it has like different levels of like danger.
Yeah. It's a great book for anyone who hasn't read it. I highly recommend it. Super short. I got through it in like a couple hours. Like it's nothing, but it's so fun. It's a great book.
It's great.
Yeah.
I want to read the Wicked Insects book too.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that one. I never got that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That next step. And that's our pollinator thing. Be a shorter.
Yeah, it's a good
segment
one.
Segment on that.
Yep.
All right. I like it.
Cool.
Shall we do another fun attempt?
What's the theme? Ants? No.
Well, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
It is thoraxing to think of more puns.
I think we should start an anthropology of plants facts. I don't know. Sorry.
I'm not. No, it didn't work. I was going ant against it. there is a. We have anatomy.
Yes.
Ant, another thing.
we should record this on a hill.
Oh, I like that. And
we're in the Anthropocene.
That's a good one. That was a good one. Antigone, since you mentioned the Odyssey, was another very old book.
Nice. All right. That was a... Oh my god.
Good try. Why is it so hard? Thanks for listening to this episode of Plantaholics.
Hope you can join us next week for more plant talk.
In the meantime, you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook, or visit our website at plantaholicspodcast.com.
Thanks, everyone.
See you next time.